breaking news on the trending technology you need and can't live without. Ari Zoldan of Quantum Media Group, exclusively on Kevin McCullough Radio.
Well, it's not Ari today. It is another colleague that is in the tech sector, but he's been with us before. Michael Baran is back with us. And Michael, we always appreciate you and Ari's time on these days. And, you know, it's an exciting time if you're tech motivated, initiated, or just, you know, a consumer, because the changes come fast and furiously. But I opened up the Post today and I see this story that talks about women in the UK twice as likely as men to lose their jobs to robots. And this is, I think, one of the concerns that people say about a tech-based economy and life. How should we think about this type of thing if it is, in fact, true that two-thirds of UK women are going to be more likely to lose jobs than their male counterparts?
Yeah, I think we're going through a transitional period right now where the kind of old way of employing a worker is transitioning into new solutions that we're creating with AI. And I think as we go through that transition, I think we'll even out. I think personally a woman is just as qualified as a man to start managing AI. And what I mean by that, as people get displaced, you know, in certain jobs, we're going to need people also to man new jobs that are created because of the AI. And I think that women and men are obviously equal on that. And I think it's going to provide new job opportunities for women just as much as men moving forward.
Well, that'll be interesting. And how long, what is the curve on from when we get people that are doing traditional jobs, you know, whether it be manual labor or whatever, and then get the learning curve up to speed where you can turn those workers into tech workers? Because it seems like if you can get that kind of turnover, then we do end up benefiting. But it does seem like there will be some learning curve involved.
Yeah, definitely. There's going to be a learning curve. I mean, I see, you know, moving forward, we're going to have, you know, specialized schools that can teach people how to be technicians for AI, things of that nature. I still think we're a little ways out. I think, you know, we all thought we'd have self-driving cars by now. We see how sluggish that's going. It's taking a while, you know. Right. There's a lot of dangers in letting things go completely artificial as far as intelligence. So I would say we're still at least 5 to 10 years out from this mass adoption of AI in the workforce every day for those more remedial jobs.
Well, I got to tell you, yesterday I drove to and from Washington, D.C. in less than about 12 hours. I was there for just a very brief evening event and then came right back. But I used a rental car for a variety of reasons. And the car I had was one of these really super smart cars that have all the gadgets. And I did not know how to operate the thing. Like, it, you know, the smart cruise control came on, and when I tried to change lanes, it would like tell me, you know, no, you can't do that. And then for some reason, I sense that it's slowing me down, and I can't figure. You know, I'm setting the cruise control on the highway, and what it is, it's reading the distance between me and the car in front of me, and it's letting me set it at the speed that I want, but obviously it's slowing down because it senses that that I need to be closing that speed ratio for the gap that was remaining between the car in front of me and back. And we did have some construction zones and stuff. It took me about 8 hours of driving that vehicle yesterday. By the time I got back to the New York area, I kind of had it figured out, but it was a learning curve for me. And that's, you know, that's a car. Like, I can't imagine like what some of these jobs are going to be like.
Sure.
All right. Well, let's move on. This week, Amazon made some announcements about Prime Day, and they're going to do it a little differently this year. What are the main things that they're doing differently, and how successful has the Prime Day idea been for Amazon?
Oh, I think it's been wildly successful. The reason why is because anytime that you create some type of event from a marketing perspective or from a consumer perspective, it definitely boosts sales. I mean, obviously, Amazon today is a huge integral part of people's lives. I mean, so many people are shopping on Amazon and finding it convenient. I think some of the things, you know, that make it amazing, too, is that you can, for the most part, you can shop on demand, right? You can shop on demand from an app right on your phone. I mean, you can do things like scan barcodes and take pictures of products and find them on Amazon and search for them when you're out in the real world. I think one of the interesting things that's happening, you know, is that people are boycotting it, which is interesting, right? People are, you know, kind of shifting to this support local stop, you know, supporting right. machine type idealism, where they're actually boycotting things like Prime Day and, you know, kind of, you know, I guess trying to influence people to support a more of a local economy. So I think that's one of the interesting things that we're seeing. Most people think, oh, we're all in favor of deals and big screen TVs and all these different types of electronics and gadgets. But we're seeing now, as Amazon Prime Day starts to roll out, something kind of similar that happens with Black Friday, where you have a group of people who are really into it, and then there's like almost a resistance and an opposition against it. So that's interesting.
Yeah, but what they will never tell you is that every one of those local shops are doing everything they can. And I know this from working with startups behind the scenes. Every one of them is trying to get their product in Amazon. So, you know, every mom and pop shop in America is dying to get that placement, and they're working hard to do it. And they'll be glad when they start getting some internet orders for their, you know, their Christmas ornaments or special sandals or whatever it is that they make. As well. Hey, real quickly, this has not gotten nearly as much coverage as I think it normally might, but there's a lot of concern about how Google and China have kind of agreed to cooperate together. And now Peter Thiel is calling for the CIA and the FBI to actually look into what the construct of that deal is and how they're operating. What do you make of the potential of one of the major tech companies not Well, I'm not saying that they are, but the possibility of them getting corrupted or compromised by a major foreign power?
You know, I think Peter Thiel raises a great point. I mean, he's obviously a very intelligent guy. He has a great career in venture capitalism. He recently moved out of the Bay Area down to Los Angeles with his operations because he was getting a little, tired of kind of the liberal consensus, in the Bay Area. So he definitely has a very unique standpoint. I mean, he's obviously involved in some government decisions and sits on some boards there as well. Look, it's always risky when something like a Google that controls so much of our life, is in negotiations with a foreign country and a foreign government. So I think that, what he's doing and what he's saying is definitely bringing awareness to it, and it needs to be looked at. It needs to be definitely something to keep an eye on,
Transparency, and I think that it's exactly. It's a good thing. All right, Michael Berean, you're making me almost not even miss Ari. I can't say that. No, not at all. But we appreciate your insights today as well on Tech Tuesday. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Kevin. Have a good one.
All right. Kevin McCullough, coming right back, a final thought is next.